Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio. 855 AM on your dial.
And on 3CR Digital and streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 304th episode of Think Again, a program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, a organization working for social change for more than a quarter of a century. I'm Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell.
We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And today we're talking about community development. What do we mean, really, by community? It's normally taken for granted that it's something good, but why? What do we want or aspire to when we invoke community? And why does community need to be developed, as in community development?
That's right. Also, what's the role of community or community development in creating social change, in creating a better or fairer society? Do listeners even think community development can create social change? And if so, in what way? These are big questions, but we're not afraid. So today's program is just a start, getting us all thinking again.
Particularly also in preparation of the conference we're organising mid-October on community development.
At Borderlands.
That's correct. Often community development is viewed or treated as something inherently conservative. Just think about local governments that definitely wouldn't want to scare the horses.
Yeah.
People feeling good because they are meeting up and doing things together, while the onslaughts and inequalities of the system remain exactly the same as they were 2 days ago. And it's true, community-promoting activities can be conservative, as well as, surprise, surprise, progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of numerous teals, politicians who have come to power from inspired community mobilization, very often on a pro-environment ticket, but at the same time, mostly economically quite conservative, and not really wanting to change the system to make it economically fairer or less exploitative of the many people at the bottom.
Yeah, so that's a good preparation of the ground, Shark. So let's try to connect grassroots community development practice and activism with creating social change in this program.
Listeners to Think Again will remember at least some of the times we have discussed and presented various aspects of community development, or, as we actually now prefer to call that approach, aspects of the development of community. And this reversal is not just a wordplay or wanting to be sophisticated.
Yes.
We think it's really important and worth reflecting on it a bit, even if a radio program may not be the best way of conveying its deeper meaning, but we'll give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Community development centers on the notion of development. Communities becoming the objects needing to become developed.
This is one version of it.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to somehow assume that there is an agreed upon state or level or quality that a community should have, and which the community is not living up to.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it wouldn't need to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggests that it needs to be brought about, this development, through a process referred to as development.
Mm-hmm.
And such development is assumed to make, as I said, the community better, bringing it up to scratch and improving the livelihood of its members up to some standard which is considered better than it is at present. That has traditionally been the impetus for community development over the last century, both in so-called developing countries, again, there is that word developing, and in developed ones.
Yeah, and perhaps behind all that, there's some implication that some damage is happening with the development and maybe turbocharging of capitalism, something that needs to be corrected for while maintaining the status quo.
That's right. Or certain groups or communities within that capitalist process, staying behind, and again, behind in quotation marks.
Mm.
In contrast, naming the approach the development of community, that urges us to articulate what is meant by the concept and the reality of community.
Yeah, and as you say, it also asks what it means to develop community.
Exactly. Yeah. So one has to come up with at least a hint or a description of what community means and what it could mean for the reality of living in a community or of being part of it. After all, the notion of community is a mess. We talk about entities like the European Community, or we adamantly hear Albanese and his minister state that racism has no place in our Australian community.
Mm.
Or we refer to the school community, the neighbourhood community, the church community. Now, looking at the church community, that can reach from the one some people still join on the weekend, or it can mean the estimated totality of over 1 billion Catholics, the Catholic community. Then there are many other organizations who consider themselves communities too. And some newer inventions have come about. They talk about communities of practice.
Mm.
So it is a bit of a mess, isn't it? Meaning everything or really not that much. I remember a 1960s piece of research stating that there were close to 100 definitions of community development, more than half of which differed in their understanding and description of what community might mean.
Yeah, so Jacques, you've given some good examples of how the word community is used, I think always trying to invoke some sort of idea of the good in public pronouncements. But in all cases, it seems that the idea of community refers to relationships or some sort of relational system, a system of relationships and processes of relating.
Mm.
So, as I said, a relational system which has some sort of boundary of interest or characteristics.
Mm-hmm. That's right, and differs from other communities, exactly.
So yeah. It's probably a useful concept mm-hmm. to move to the idea of relationality and
that's
networks
right.
of relationality.
And it refers also, therefore, to structures of relating,
mm-hmm.
how people relate structurally.
Yeah.
So looking a bit more carefully at where the word comes from, which I always like doing anyway, like so many English words, community has Latin origins, with the com in community evoking the relational or the collective nature of the thing. Whilst the munity part, the second part, munity, leads to some really interesting conundrums.
Mm.
Munity derives from the Latin munus.
Is it related to mucus?
No,
okay.
Not really.
Thank you,
no,
Jacques.
Not at all.
Proceed.
munus, the meaning of munus ranges from notions like tribute, obligation, and finally gift or donation. So in social entities, including communities, where the sideways horizontal relationship mode is predominant, we may see community being lived and understood as reciprocal gift-giving and receiving.
Mm, so in reciprocal and interdependent social systems,
mm-hmm.
or systems of reciprocal exchange.
Yeah. For example, think indigenous or village communities, or co-housing, intentional communities, even share housing. In those where the up and down vertical relationship mode predominates, however, we're talking more about a dependency relationship, where those above in government's capacity require tributes or onus from their subordinates for receiving goods, services, security, utilities, protection, and so forth. Think about modern states, their taxation, and their welfare systems. And the notion of development, add that notion of development to community, and it becomes abundantly clear how important it is to understand what drives the process referred to as community development. Is it vertical, is it horizontal, or is it a mixture of both?
Mm. Or diagonal.
That's right.
So I guess the central point is we need to be really clear about what we mean by community and the development of community before promoting or embarking on community development activities.
Mm, yeah. That's right, especially as they point to an intention to create or add to or intensify the energy of the relational system referred to as community.
Mm, yeah, so I guess there are some communities that you don't want to really develop too.
That's right.
Like right-wing racist fringe groups and incels, which toxic social media is really capitalising on in developing those types of communities.
That's right. And on the other side, think about the rapidly increasing nature of vertical communities, really, like in high-rises. How do you make a community out of a high-rise?
Well, there are lots of communities in high-rises which are really having a lot of threats to them at the moment.
That's right.
With the privatisation of public housing.
That's right. So that brings us to the next point, that community development or developing community approaches are being used both within and against the existing system. By which I mean within the system, like, for example, funded programs which fund the thing called community inclusion or community anything, really, but they are happening within the confines, if you want, of the state, local government, or a state government.
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of funding for neighbourhood houses to support young Muslim males, for example.
Or think about neighbourhood.
And they call it community development.
Or think about Neighbourhood Watch. And, you know, everyone watching one another's CDs and all of that. But at the same time, also, there is good development which happens outside and against the state, for example, outside and against certain things the state or business are doing. And you organize people, that means the community, to resist it and to change it.
So, the Victorian state government is planning repressive new laws to restrict protest, including bans on protective masks and lock-on devices, increased police search powers, restrictions on symbols of resistance such as flags, and creation of so-called safe zones around religious buildings, putting significant areas of the CBD off limits. We must say no to this attack on democracy. Protest is a fundamental human right. Join the fight to defend it at a mass rally hosted by Defend Dissent Coalition on Tuesday, 12th of August, 5:30 p.m. at Parliament House. Defend Dissent Coalition is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. Your host, as usual, are myself, Jacques Boulet, and Jennifer Borrell. Today we're talking about the place of community or community development in creating social change.
Yeah, that's right. Before the break, we were discussing what's really meant by community and community development, with our notions of both having implications for whether or not we might be creating positive change or maintaining the status quo or both or something in between, which brings us to our next point. What are the contexts where we are trying to create fundamental change for the better? The activist social change, social movement contexts, for example. A big pitfall is when people recognise that the structures or systems of society are causing harm or oppression or inequality, like patriarchy. And they deduce from that change can only happen by targeting the sites of power at the top and not in other places in the system. And in that way of thinking, the grassroots horizontal experience of community becomes irrelevant, as I say, within that way of thinking. So Jess Hill's recent quarterly essay provides a good example of what's wrong with this reductionist way of thinking. The essay is called Losing It: Can We Stop Violence Against Women and Children? And Jess Hill describes a single focus of the national plan to end violence against women and children, which isn't reducing such violence, by the way. So the focus on the plan, as she describes it, is on improving gender equality and targeting negative social norms and attitudes towards women, which of course are crucial things to do and to achieve, and they should be done. But if you want to end violence against women and children, she argues that other factors need to be looked at, and the importance of these in relation to each other can change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So ongoing monitoring is important, that what works and what's
mm-hmm.
happening isn't fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So other intersecting factors that, based on evidence that she talks about, are access to alcohol, a history of trauma and abuse that the perpetrator themselves suffers from. When I say suffers from, it's she talks about it's not enough to give moral messages like, oh, you shouldn't say that. You actually might have to retrain your neurobiology and the way your brain works.
And understand why that is being said.
Exactly. So, and then she talks about poker machines, which we've talked about before, which are addictive by design. She talks about children's access to pornography and, of course, the lack of options and support for women and children being abused, including non-supportive judicial, financial and policing systems. So solutions invariably need to involve people. Well, seems obvious. They need to involve people within their own worlds at a relational grassroots level
mm-hmm.
and also within the mediating processes and organisations between the overarching political economic structures at the top
mm-hmm.
and everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's exactly right, yeah. Jess Hill, her essay, is a really good example. The problem is to translate the purposes of broad movements and the theories which support them into on-the-ground or horizontal experience and thinking and recognition and making the connections.
Yeah, connections between...
Between the several levels which are relevant to understand what's happening in people's daily lives, like the way our global and national political economy operates, the ways in which our institutional processes work. You know, just think about the Robodebt scandal.
Oh, gosh.
Just, you know, terrible stuff. And the way we spend our daily lives.
Yeah, that's right. And so moving to our next point, also elevating the importance of relationships, or to put it better, living networks of relationality,
mm-hmm.
We have the not-for-profit sector, state or charity-funded, with grants almost always infected with neoliberal thinking and expectations, measuring transactional deliverables, which too often work against the nurturing of meaningful relationality or community. In fact, the short-termism of such funding usually works against the forming of enduring meaningful relations making up communities.
Mm.
And communities get really disenchanted because people and also workers, because they've made all these relationships and connections and suddenly the funding ends.
Exactly, exactly. The United Kingdom-based Demos organisation published an interesting report about this in mid-2021 as the deep freeze of COVID-imposed isolation slowly started to abate and when what we call normality started to seep in again. The report was titled The Social State: From Transactional to Relational Public Services. Whilst it is 4 years old, that report, the reflections and suggestions it contains are more necessary and vital than ever. That report proposes three sets of relationships that public services should foster. First of all, relationships between the professional and the service user. Then, relationships between the service and the community at large. And finally, relationships between citizens or service users,
mm-hmm.
also known as the community.
Mm-hmm.
It argues that public services are needed that establish and nurture strong relationships, both with and between people, to both help prevent problems and to manage them better. It also argues that relational public services can improve outcomes by giving citizens more control and confidence to resolve their own problems.
Yeah, which brings in the point about members of a community having agency or power in decisions and actions that affect their life and collectively having coming up with and implementing community-led projects and initiatives.
That's right, community-led and controlled, absolutely.
Yeah, which Aboriginal communities, for example, always for years and years and years have been crying out for, and every report says it should be happening, and then it never does, and we wonder why the gap's not being closed.
And you could add many multicultural communities to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The Demos report argues that relational public services can build communities that are able to mobilize and resolve problems by themselves without relying heavily on the state, with relational public services being the way to make the shift from the treatment of problems to prevention of problems.
Yeah. So, of course, a pitfall of this is a potential for offloading responsibility for collective well-being onto community members,
right? That's right?
So rather than providing communities with the resources needed for community-led initiatives. So
that's right.
An example is programs for communities to look after new arrivals, new migrants, such as religious or ethnic communities taking that responsibility, but without resourcing or support from the state that's collecting taxes and holding our collective wealth. And from my recall, both types of programs do exist. The more resourced ones in Canada, which I think we've tried to mimic, but without the adequate resourcing for the communities to really provide that support to the new migrants.
Mm, that's correct. Thinking about the future development of relationships between community-based bodies and the different levels of government, it might be useful to again introduce the idea of subsidiarity.
So another new concept, Jacques.
Which is very old, really.
Yeah.
The subsidiarity principles, and I quote, it's from Coghill.
We'll put it on the program page,
yes,
the reference.
Will, yeah. The subsidiarity principle states that higher levels of government should only perform functions that cannot be effectively and efficiently undertaken by lower levels of government. It might invoke a constitutional provision that, unless amended by a referendum, decision-making and administration is to be delegated to the most local practical level.
End of quote. The key word being local, which might mean that functions should be carried out at a local government level if that's most effective and efficient our own context.
And even the local government level should also delegate to even more local communities.
Yeah.
Subsidiarity has a long history in continental Europe as a principle dividing responsibility between state and so-called civil society. And that includes churches, NGOs and other levels of government. This is the case since the 1801 Concordat between Roman Catholic Pope Pius VII and French Emperor Napoleon,
What does Concordat mean?
Concordat means an agreement.
An agreement,
An official agreement between powers.
It
was legally anchored in the French constitution, which in turn became the prototype for most European constitutions, and it still forms the basis for arrangements around service delivery in welfare, schools, recreational services, support for non-governmental organizations and initiatives. It posits that superimposed or upscaled government bodies or powers should not usurp the roles and functions better or sufficiently fulfilled by more localized or informal, non-governmental, or what is referred to as primary sociality institutions, groups and bodies, and that is exactly communities.
Yeah, and the principle of subsidiarity, that higher levels of government should only perform functions that cannot be effectively undertaken by lower levels, that has progressive political and distributive potentials and dimensions,
That's
I think,
right.
Because it brings power to the local level. And bringing power to the local level can compensate for the deficits and disadvantages and onslaughts caused by inequalities in access and power, and the inequalities due to distances from central decision-making centres.
It's essentially a very strong argument for decentralisation. Ibrahim and Weisband say, and I quote them, "Sovereignty can and should be dispersed horizontally and vertically to multiple levels and loci of authority, each exercising distinct and determinate power over kinds of human practice and resources." Or in other words, it needs to be decentralized and transported down to where life is happening, really, and where decisions can be modified according to the direct needs in those particular places or, again, in communities.
I think I prefer your way of saying it, Jacques. Well done.
Oh, well, there you go. And we'll definitely explore that more in a future program. In the meanwhile, let's give time to the last words to Cornel West. Cornel West, famous Afro-American activist and academic as well, he says, "Justice is what love looks like in public, just like tenderness is what love feels like in private." This captured the dual imperative of community work, really, to hold space for intimate vulnerability and to actively pursue structural justice. These are not separate aims, but they are expressions of the same ethic of interdependence, which is a condition of life.
Ethic of interdependence, it's an ecological principle.
And a condition of living.
So that brings, that makes me think of a discussion I once had in an alternative school for teenagers who'd been discarded from the mainstream school system and often had neglectful or abusive home lives. The alternative school had a ratio of 5 students per teacher, and they were supported by social workers in the school who gave them a lot of one-to-one support and attention. And when I asked this group what made the difference with their current school that was helping them, I always remember one saying, "It is love."
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And we will explore more of all of that at our conference 16, 17 and 18th of October at Borderlands. And you will certainly hear more of that as we progress to that date.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio today. If you want to send us any comments about the program, email borders@borderlands.org.au. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, and thinking of those students I talked with, please enjoy "We Don't Need No Education" by Pink Floyd.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.